WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
If you have cancer, you don't necessarily have to choose between conventional and alternative therapies. You can combine both. Michael Lerner is a pioneer in integrating the two. That integration is the subject of his book, Choices in Healing. Lerner is the founder of Commonweal, a health research institute in Bolinas, California, and the Commonweal Cancer Help Program, which is dedicated to helping people seeking physical, emotional, and spiritual healing in the face of cancer. He's running a Cancer Help Program workshop this week, but was good enough to spend a few minutes with us. He first joined us on Fresh Air 5 years ago. I asked him what he thinks has been achieved since then in integrating conventional and alternative therapies.
Well, I think what is being achieved is really a recognition in medicine that there is more to helping people than helping try to cure them, which, of course, is vitally important. And that it also really matters that you help people try to heal. And there's a big difference between healing and curing. Curing is the effort to offer a treatment that will end a life-threatening illness and return someone to full health. And healing is what comes from within people and their efforts physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to become whole and to do what they can, both in terms of quality of life and life extension or prevention of recurrence. So there's an enormous recognition of this across the country, which is just one of the great changes in medical culture of our time. And that's a real accomplishment.
The impression I've gotten from your reading is that you're most comfortable with the therapeutic approaches that are psychological, spiritual, nutritional, or physical, like massage, as opposed to alternative medicines.
That's essentially true, and let me tell you why that is. For 10 years, I looked at the alternative medicines in great detail, and I did not find a cure for cancer among those medicines. Now, as the field of research in alternative medicines for cancer has exploded, it becomes increasingly difficult for any single human being to keep track of all the research that is taking place. So what I was looking for is, what are the sort of essential long-term truths that any cancer patient or any health practitioner can hold on to as over the next 10 or 20 years, we work out the debates about all the phytochemicals and the herbs and all the other specific medicines. And the truth that has held clear and strong for me is that if you look at complementary cancer therapies, you can divide them between spiritual approaches, psychological approaches, nutritional and physical approaches, the four you just mentioned, and then traditional medicines like traditional Chinese medicine, herbal medicines, pharmacological approaches like shark's cartilage, things like that, electromagnetic therapies, unconventional uses of conventional therapies, various esoteric therapies like psychic surgery, and sort of broadly humane approaches. If you take that way of looking at complementary therapies, the first four, spiritual, psychological, nutritional, and physical, represent what I call the vital quartet of intrinsically health-promoting approaches to cancer. And what we know, Terry, from the mainstream research literature is that patients who are healthier going into cancer, who have better what is called quality of life or better what the oncologists call functional status, which means that you can just sort of take care of yourself better, those patients, not surprisingly, tend to have better outcomes. They actually have better survival in many studies. So the central truth to me of the meeting place between complementary and conventional therapies is that patients and practitioners who seek to help patients integrate the best of both worlds should start with this vital quartet of spiritual, psychological, nutritional, and physical approaches to simply getting healthier.
What have you observed through the people you come in contact with at your cancer education center, Commonweal, that would help give you ideas of which, you know, physical, nutritional, spiritual, and psychological therapies are most effective in improving quality of life and in helping the person be strong as they're fighting cancer?
I think the answer to that is that the spiritual, psychological, nutritional, and physical approaches that help patients most are, for the most part, as unique as each individual. It's almost like your own fingerprint. You know, who can say what will bring spiritual or religious solace or just a sense of integrity for people who don't like spiritual language, a sense of integrity or coherence to a person with a life-threatening illness? It's incredibly unique. The same is true of psychological approaches. Even nutrition, people have enormously different nutritional needs. And at the physical level, there are people who love massage or yoga or the Chinese discipline called Qigong that many cancer patients have used, which is a yoga-like practice. There are others who prefer walks or exercise and so on. So it's very, very individual. It's just that those are four realms in which I think if people seek out what makes sense to them, they often find they are feeling better, and in feeling better, they often do better with the difficult medical treatments and also with the progress of the illness itself.
Would you recommend that people just educate themselves through reading or workshops on some of the alternatives available to them and see which one feels most appropriate to them?
Yes, and if possible, get some guidance from somebody who's really thought about this. I mean, there are certain underlying principles. Let's just take one example, is that we know that very high-fat diets are associated with higher risk of fat-related cancers. So for many people, a low-fat diet makes a lot of sense. Similarly, we know that there's a very important research literature that stress enhances tumor development in many animals. And it is almost certain that that is true for many human cancers as well. Well, cancer is a stressful experience, and modern life is stressful. So if you are faced with cancer, then disciplines like meditation or progressive deep relaxation or spiritual perspectives that help you accept life with less stress are logically helpful in reducing the stresses that may enhance tumor development. So there's certain underlying principles like that, that no matter which way you go, spiritually, psychologically, nutritionally, and physically, they're sort of common sense principles.
I think an important point that you're making here, too, is whether you're oriented more toward the spiritual or the secular approach toward integration. There's a lot of alternatives out there, and you don't have to seek the spiritual approach to find an approach that will help you feel more of a sense of meaning in life and also calmness.
I completely agree with that. In fact, I am not at all happy with those who regard the preference for a spiritual vocabulary as somehow superior to the preference for a secular vocabulary. For me, some of the most truly spiritual people I know have absolutely no use for the spiritual vocabulary and use a secular vocabulary instead. And I think that the secular vocabulary that works best is the vocabulary of meaning. Viktor Frankl's concept of man's quest for meaning when he was a prisoner of war in Auschwitz and was asking who survived in Auschwitz psychologically as well as physically, and he came to the conclusion that the people who survived best in Auschwitz were the people with a deep core of meaning in their lives. And I think that's true in facing a life-threatening illness, that the capacity to survive the illness and the treatment, and indeed just the capacity to survive the vicissitudes of life, has an awful lot to do with whether we can find a core of meaning in ourselves that is beyond what life does to us.
My guest is Michael Lerner, founder of the Commonweal Cancer Help Program and author of Choices in Healing. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Michael Lerner, author of Choices in Healing, about integrating conventional and alternative cancer therapies. He's the founder of the research institute Commonweal and the Commonweal Cancer Help Program. Part of what you help people do at Commonweal is to find ways of surviving the treatment, surviving the cancer treatment. And I'm wondering if there's been a lot of change on that front. I guess what I mean is, have the treatments changed a lot in the years that you've been running these workshops at Commonweal? Are people having to deal with different problems posed by the treatments?
Well, they are, Terry, and it's going in two directions almost simultaneously. On the one hand, you are seeing people going through more aggressive treatments like bone marrow transplant treatments, which are very, very difficult treatments. And as the techniques get better and better and survival goes up and people are doing better on the other side of it, you see lots of people facing the consequences of having lived through bone marrow transplant. On the other hand, the other enormous wave that has hit mainstream medicine in the past 5 years is managed care. And, of course, managed care is moving in exactly the opposite direction, which is it wants to cut costs and therefore wants to do as little bone marrow transplant and that kind of thing as possible. So managed care is actually driving us toward the European model of less aggressive treatments. America traditionally was much more aggressive in our medical interventions, whether for cancer or for anything else, and the Europeans tended to be more conservative and to embrace more of the complementary therapies as within the mainstream in a broad sense. We're moving in that direction under the impact of managed care.
So some people are getting a more aggressive and some people a less aggressive treatment.
That's correct. It's moving in both directions simultaneously. In a deeper sense, we are facing the reality that as technology moves forward, we become more and more capable of more and more expensive interventions to keep people alive and to treat them with a wide range of illnesses. And so this forces a rationing process of some kind, because we could spend an infinite amount of money on these technologies with which we are more and more integrated in our lives. Managed care is one of the inadequate ways that we've found to ration these very expensive technologies. But the technologies are out there, and because they are promising, and I think that's probably where the cures for cancer will probably come from, if they come. It will come from technological medicine. But there will be more and more need for rationing simply because we cannot afford to, much as we all would wish to, we simply cannot afford to give everybody an infinite amount of high-tech medicine all the time.
Complementary medicine, like mainstream medicine, tends to speak to the individual. What are some of the things that you think need to be done more as a society in terms of preventing cancer? Or dealing with cancer?
Well, I think the answer, that's a very interesting question to me that I've thought a lot about. And my perspective on what's happening to complementary medicine, just as it's being integrated into the mainstream, is I think you could say that complementary medicine has enormously extended in a sort of a horizontal line the range of treatments that patients and physicians can think about together. What complementary medicine has not done yet, and I think it's the next really important development, is that it hasn't grounded its sense of what contributes to health and illness in nature and in economics as deeply as it should. And what I mean by that is that, for example, let's just take the economic aspect. You can look at the whole literature on mind-body health, and there are numerous discussions about healing and dying and so on and so forth. But there's almost nothing on the impact on people's health of job loss or poverty as a carcinogen or enormously well-established facts like that that we know have powerful effects on health, and yet that's almost absent from complementary medicine. And similarly, on the nature side, the place where we failed to ground complementary medicine in nature, we haven't hooked up with the huge public interest in healthy foods and whole foods and concerns with chemicals in the environment. And yet that concern with chemicals in the environment, again, does not make its way into the dialogue on mind-body health and complementary medicine. So I think it's just very striking that complementary medicine has followed the lead of mainstream medicine in focusing primarily on clinical interventions and not looking at the public health dimension of both what human activity is doing to the biosphere and how that affects our health, and what we are doing to each other through maldistribution of income and resources, and how profoundly that affects health. I don't think that complementary medicine can claim to be truly holistic unless it grounds itself in economics and nature, just as it has grounded itself in a broader perspective on clinical interventions.
If you're seeing an oncologist and your particular oncologist doesn't know anything about complementary medicine and isn't going to be very useful in recommending massage or acupuncture or meditation or relaxation technique, is it okay to go someplace else? I mean, like, if your doctor isn't informed about that, are you violating their practices by educating yourself outside?
Well, that's a really tough question for many cancer patients. And many cancer patients look for an oncologist who is compassionate and open-minded about complementary therapies. You know, Terry, I've reached the conclusion that what you really want most from an oncologist, you certainly want somebody who will be kind and who will answer your questions, but I honestly think that it's less important that they are open-minded about complementary therapies than it is that they are very, very good at what they do and very committed to you and your treatment. Because in the face of managed care, what many cancer patients are facing is the real prospect that they will get inadequate mainstream treatment. That's a very real concern for many cancer patients. So finding an oncologist and a managed care system, if you're in managed care, that will take care of you in a really first-rate way in terms of conventional treatments, I think that's the overwhelming priority. I think that the question of how open the oncologist is to complementary therapies, that's an add-on, that's a bonus. Ideally, and we're moving in that direction, oncologists are open-minded. But I think their great dedication and our great need from them is first-rate mainstream care.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's a pleasure.
Michael Lerner is the founder of Commonweal in Bolinas, California, and the Commonweal Cancer Help Program. He's the author of Choices in Healing, integrating the best of conventional and complementary approaches to cancer.